Testing one. Wednesday, the 18th of May, 2016. A conversation between Ken Omar and Peter Trimmingham. Over to Ken.
Okay, Peter. I was born in Fish Lake, October 26, 1933, and I've been around ever since.
Do you fancy talking about childhood memories, Ken? What the village was like in, you know, the late 1930s?
Well, it were okay, yeah. We all had to respect people, and people respected you, and that what you were brought up to do. You had to treat your elders as you'd like them to treat you now, but we don't always get it now, like.
Who were the characters you remember from the village?
Well, there were Mr. Buck, what we used to call him Coffer, but he was a grand old lad. He was gravedigger at church, and his family, they all maintained footpath through churchyard. And I can always remember, as war broke out, him digging an air raid shelter among conker trees field at back.
Aye.
Back at church, front at church.
Yes.
And he said, they'll not bomb you because it's churches in the way. So we'll be all safe round here in this air raid shelter. And I think we were more or less going to get drowned in air raid shelter because the river used to flood it.
So you mentioning flooding. Can you remember any floods before they did riverbanks?
Oh, yeah.
Tell us about that.
My mum lived in a house next to Anchor.
Aye.
And it flooded, and my dad went to Mr. Savage, who was the road and councilman at that time, and to see if he could get some tar barrels to stand furniture on in front room and that. But they wouldn't let him have it, so we had to struddle up stairs with it up into the bedroom. And water were in oven, you know, flood water were in oven.
Oh, right.
So, and orchard next door, it were all flooded where our graves at Bundlow is today.
Aye, yeah.
And, well, there was a cul-de-sac in corner there, which led out onto the river. Well, soon as river went down, water went out through this cul-de-sac into the river again. And I can always remember Mr. Knowles, old Mr. Knowles, he were fetch cattle from Doncaster Market with his dogs.
Nice.
And when they got into the village one Saturday night, they all went up a little lane opposite Mucky Lane onto the river bank, and he sent his dog Parham and he fetched them back into Parnall's orchard, and one jumped into this cul-de-sac and broke top. It was a big wooden top on it in Parnall's orchard.
Ah, right. The one that's cleaned out this last year, is that where
that's
that
the one
was?
It come under bank,
yes.
Into Parnall's orchard.
Great big cast iron thing.
Yeah.
Cast iron sides to it. Ah, that was the one, was it?
Yeah.
Oh dear. Hey, if a cow jumped into that, it would soon be in a state.
Well, they were all coming from Ireland, these beasts, and he used to bring them into the village for Lawson's. From they were billeted at Atfield Woodhouse.
Yeah.
Lawson's, they were cattle dealers, and they used to buy these beasts and bring them and put them in Lowings and different places at back of Thornius and that.
Ah, right.
So
you mentioned Thornius.
Yeah.
What's your memories of Thornius then? Because obviously it's burnt down and gone. And
it were wrong that it. Wait, what happened there? It were a three-story barn and pigeon loft right at top.
I've been in Pigeon Loft. That
have
was
you?
The right place. That.
Yeah. Oh, aye, it were a grand place. It should never have been pulled down. That
wrong, wasn't it?
Yeah. But I have a cousin what lived at Moor Ends, and she was telling me a few years back now, that her mother and Mrs. Kershaw were two sisters.
Ah, right.
And my grandmother was sister to them.
Right.
And there was a big staircase in there.
Aye.
But round back, her mother had told her that there was big pictures on walls, you know, painted on walls. Mm. Whether it were true or not, I don't know. It's only what I've been told.
Yeah.
But when you went into back kitchen at Aunt Carrie's, we used to call her, it was a great big place, and you could have got a horse and cart into, you know, passage what went up through house.
Right.
It went in at back, in front and out at back, three or four steps at each end. Mm. And
big house.
Oh, it was a big house. Yeah.
You mentioned before your mum and flooding and moving furniture.
Yeah.
Was that the only flood you can remember, or were there others as well?
Well, there were other floods, but after Tiny Sylvester, Hubert Sylvester, he started building them banks, and the lead ash from Hatfield, Maine, to make that bump across road, off the bank to Brazier's house.
Yeah.
It were all grey ash there, not from out at pit, grey stone.
Mm.
And that's what they built that bank with. They built it across road, and we never flooded no more.
Ah, right. And then, of course, in the 1950s, they put new banks in.
Well, yeah, that's when prisoners of war, they were working on them banks.
Yeah.
Mr. Abbott, and we used to call him Brownie, I didn't know any of them, but I knew them all by sight.
Mm.
And as kids, we used to go up there, and we used to talk to prisoner of war, and they used to ask us to get aluminium pan, we'll make you rings. And they used to make rings for us, like bottle rings out of aluminium. And I know Fred Gilson, he had a handful of them. He used to have a ring on every finger, all aluminium, you know. Yeah.
Oh, right. Yeah. So, can you remember it flooded in 1947 with all that snow?
Well, I can, but I don't think it were as bad as what they made it out to be.
Yeah.
You know, it 47. Well, I was born 33, so I'd be a 10 or 12 year old, wouldn't I?
14, I think.
Well, I were, you know, knocking about round then, and me and Fred Gilson and one or two more lads, we were getting rabbits out of edges, because just against mill there, it all flooded. Well, there were always a lot of rabbits in that bank, what run to Brenda Otson's house now.
Otson's house, yeah.
You know, that bank come right across there, across that field what Rooster has now.
Yeah.
Well, it were Oxen's then, it were Toncroft's.
Yeah.
And it used to go, there was a footpath across there, and it went across Brazier's Garth, the end of that old building.
Yeah.
Through into Olive Smith's, then into Butterfield's, into Mucky Lane.
Oh, right.
There were a footpath right across there you could go through floods.
Yeah.
You know, to miss floods, like.
Yeah. Higher land.
Yeah.
Right across the ridge of that middle of that field.
That's right,
yeah. Where cricket pitch used to be.
That's right,
Yeah, right. Hey, fantastic. Going back to one thing I mentioned earlier on, characters. I know you've talked to me about John Faulkner before, but other people around, all the people you can remember.
Oh, there was. Well, you don't know where to start, really, because I used to go at Christmas time to Mrs. Brownridge's at almshouses.
Yeah.
And I used to help her to pluck chickens. Well, me and Neil, we used to pull wing feathers out for her.
Oh, right.
You know, and then I'd go from there to Maggie Books in Mucky Lane, because she used to pluck geese and ducks for people.
When you say almshouses, which one do you mean by them?
That one at End of Street. That's almshouse, isn't it? Is it almshouse? Where Brownridge lives now.
Ah, you mean, yeah, Customs House.
Customs House, yeah. Aye.
Ah, right, so you used to do it there, did you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, she had a big back kitchen there. Yeah. She was, took everything out. Well, she had a copper in there where she used to wash geese and ducks or whatever they were doing. And also, at the end of her garden, there was a big warehouse.
Aye.
Right on Riverside.
Right on Riverside, yeah.
Yeah.
Them great big stones.
That's it, with big rings in.
Big rings, yeah.
Well,
yeah.
There were three or four steps there where they used to go down to boats.
Yeah.
Well, me and Neil Brown, we used to sit there hours with bent pin and oak fishing, you know, and there were fish there.
Oh, right, yeah.
You know, little tiddlers like.
Yeah. You can't ever remember much in the way of boats on the river then.
I can only remember one boat coming and dumping limestone.
Ah, right.
They were taking bends out at river, but then after that, they cut through from Guttridge's to Jubilee Bridge. Yeah. Well, to Waterside.
Waterside.
They took that straight through,
yeah.
And that's what they built banks with. A lot of that out at river.
Yeah.
What they dug out and you know.
Built banks up.
Yeah.
Yeah, because John Hillman, Jeff Hillman.
He did.
He was riding one at Dragline.
That's right, yeah.
Yeah.
Ah, but before he were in army then.
Yeah.
And when John come out of army, me and him, Jerry Poskett fetched a load of sheep in Till's farm.
Ah,
just
on church farm?
Yeah.
Aye.
And me and I were holding these sheep and Alan were, John, were shearing them with hand shears.
Aye.
And he says, it's a good job butcher's not here. He think we're murdering these because he kept nicking one or two, you know. So, yeah. And that were after John come out of the army, like.
Yeah,
well, Mr. Abbott were driving one of them drag lines.
Yeah.
And this Brownie from...
Well, that's Fred Abbott.
Fred Abbott's dad.
Fred Abbott's dad, oh, right. Yeah.
Aye, that old Albert.
Albert, yeah.
Yeah, Cyril's dad.
Yeah.
And Roy's dad.
Church Farm, that was a beautiful old setup, wasn't it?
Oh, it were a lovely place.
Great loss, that.
Yeah, and them cow houses, as you went through big gates, on left.
On left, aye.
Well, they were marvellous, them cow places. They've been built for dairy herd, because, well, they want another farm in Fishlet we're as good as cow places as what they were.
Beautiful, a whole lot, weren't they?
Yeah.
And that barn were a belter.
Yeah. Yeah. That's where all lads out at village used to go into that barn. Well, old Harry Griffin, he was scoutmaster in village.
Right.
And all lads used to go there. Well, there were Albert Hill, Jack Hill, Freddie Hill, Tommy Hill, all them, and our deacon, different ones, Cliff Hepton, they were all there, and they used to go in there training.
Ah,
and Bomber Wells and his brother, well, he were a good boxer, older brother, so they tell me, and that's where they used to do the boxing and training in barn. Yeah.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Yeah, right. Should we have a break there for a second?
You can do, yeah.
Fish Lake at War.
God, yeah. You just told me some fantastic story about the war.
Yeah, well, we were all kids, and fetched all soldiers from Dunkirk. They were all round here, and when they were round here, they were giving us iron rations, what they'd had to eat, and biscuits. They were as hard as rock. You know, you had to soak them in some hot to get to get them, and them lads were all laughing at us, you know, and they really enjoyed it, and they were all up Sour Lane, you know, right to Jubilee Bridge, right through the village. And my grandmother had back kitchen house full of them, and she used to be stepping over them. She said, "Oh, don't leave, let the lads sleep. They're all right, leave them alone." And well, there'd be a dozen, and they'd all be coming in and, "Hello, ma'am, are you all right, ma'am?" And there were one lad, I always remember him, he were a Cockney, and he'd been a taxi driver in London. And the tales he were telling me grandmother and having a laughing, you know, it were marvellous to listen. Well, as kids you just sat there and listened and enjoyed what they were telling you, you know. Yeah. But they were never mentioned anything about actually the war, fighting and doing things like that. They were all happy to be back, you know. And I can always remember there was snow on the ground, and that a plane had come down somewhere round about, and they said, "If you've got any hen houses or woods, orchards and things like that around your houses, go round and have a good look round and see if you can find anybody laid in what wants help." And me and Russell Hill, we were round Church Farm, and somebody took us photo in snow, and there was snow up to us, top of us wellingtons, you know, and it marvellous. And the soldiers, well, they were brilliant, you know, absolute brilliant, though. you could go for anywhere around here, and they were all in the wagons and sleeping under the wagons and all over the place. And you know, it's that long since you just can't remember all what really happened. But us kids, we used to follow them around like sheep, you know,
yeah.
Talking to them and getting to know different things. We didn't understand what was going off really.
No. You'd be 12 at End at War, so can you remember the party in the village for End at War?
Yeah, out here.
Right.
Yeah. Aye, we. I don't know whether it was VE Day, would it be?
The VE Day, yeah.
Yeah, because me and Neil Brownbridge, we had a tandem, and we were in fancy dress. And I never seen photos, but there were two or three took photos of us, and our Ernie were only young, and he'd gone home to my mum and he said, "Oh, there were two funny men on a bike." He didn't know me and Neil Brownbridge, because we'd got, you know, makeup like on. And it was great. Oh, we had a great good doing, village.
Right, Ken, let's move on then to one of the things you've talked about before is the village feasts. Tell us a bit about the village feasts in Fishland.
Well, it was a big thing, really. They had a big coconut shy right at front, and there were a tar pot on landing where there was some old pitched tar. Well, all those lads used to sit on there, watching what were going off, when there were coconut shy, and all young teenagers, they were all having a go at throwing wooden balls, at knocking coconuts off shies, and there were also donkeys there. And they used to get on donkeys again, Gilson's Gate, and they wouldn't go no further than Anchor. They wouldn't go no further than there. They used to turn round and come back like hell. You know.
When you say Gilson's Gate, which one was that?
Hall.
The Hall, yeah?
Yeah.
The Hall Gate to the Anchor.
Yeah.
Ah, right.
Yeah.
That's all you got, 100 yards for your money.
Well, that were it. It might have been a penny, I don't know.
Yeah.
But old Libby Sylvester and all, well, there were men jumping on donkeys and riding. Us kids couldn't afford to ride.
Yeah. And so, were the pubs much involved in that? Can you remember?
Well, I can't really. I think they sort of joined in, but apart from that, I don't know no more about that.
Can you remember who ran them then? Who were in both pubs?
There were Mr. Gray who had that. Well, he were Dave Branson's father-in-law.
Ah, which pub did he have?
He had Anchor.
He had Anchor, right.
And old Billy Kitchen,
yeah.
He had Air Announce for years.
Yeah, hi, Billy Kitchen followed by Jack Flight. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Billy Jack's dad then?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
He used to keep a lot of guinea pigs in end, well, I think they made a shop of it or something, the Gold Hall.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, at the end of the year, it was like a big loose box. And he had, must have had 40 or 50 guinea pigs in there. And I was stood at the door, and he was still a door across main door, about a yard high. And I was stood there watching, chucking dandelions in with him to feed them and do. And I said, I want one of them. He said, get in and get one then. And I picked one up, and he told me granddad, he said, he picked best in bunch. And I think I only had it about a fortnight, and my grandfather said, every morning when I'm coming home from pitch, it's whistling for me to give it some dandelions in the yard, you know. So he got it back, Kitchen.
Yeah, I knew that one, didn't yeah. You know, when you were at Kitchens with guinea pigs, to your right there were some cottages.
Yeah, Gonk's Cottages.
Gonk's Cottages, that's it. Yeah,
yeah. My mum and dad lived in them.
Ah,
at
right.
End.
Yeah.
And Stones has lived in the middle.
Yeah.
But we were there before Stones has.
Yeah.
And at End, Morris Hill lived.
Right
on End and next to the road.
Yeah.
And then, I don't know, we're in the middle and I can't remember really. But there were a bloke come into the village and he used to ride a racing bike. And he had a greyhound and he had a board across his back wheel, and it used to sit on there, and he used to go to Askham, greyhound track, where it sat on there, this greyhound. And we used to call him Lordy Lordy.
Right.
And we used to say he were a German spy. Well, whether he were or not, we don't know. You know what kids are.
Yeah.
And then he moved from there and he went to live at Willow Cottages in the End cottage, what John Creaser and them live in now.
Yeah, yeah.
And next to that, Libby Sylvester, John Creaser's granddad,
yeah.
And Queenie lived next door. Then Gibbons family, they lived next door to that. Yeah. And what next? No, somebody else lived next door to that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like Far Ending, yeah.
Well,
yeah.
Right, I think, how many is there? About 5 houses there, is it? Cottages, the one.
Right.
Yeah.
Right, yes, yeah.
But, and I can remember that cottage on Landing, as now.
Don Cottage, yeah.
Yeah. Old Mrs. Phoebe Downing, it got a fire.
Oh, right.
That were, she were mother to Tiny Sylvester's wife,
yeah.
What they call daughter now, Irish,
yeah.
Irish's grandmother.
Oh, right.
And yeah. They fetched her out in a chair and sat her on landing. And all those kids, you know, we were watching what were going off, and we were mesmerised with fire in cottage. And whether they went back into cottage, because she lived in there for years, her and her son, Charlie.
Ah, right.
Charlie Downing.
Yeah.
Well, at back of there were an old cottage as well.
Yeah. Ah, right at back.
Yeah.
Yeah. Fascinating, man, isn't it? Yeah.
But I was telling you about that bloke what lived on Nab, Bunter, next door to Steers' big house.
Yeah.
On top of the bank.
Top of
the bank. Well, there were a cottage there, and he lived there, Ike Stacey.
Right.
He lived in there. He was a painter and decorator.
That's, they sometimes call it Little Fish Lake, don't they? They call that bit. Right up to
oh,
right.
Yeah.
We're at Nabends. Yeah.
Yeah. And next to that were, of course, Mrs. Binns.
Yeah.
And old Arthur Chapman. And then Wide Yard. And I can't remember his name. Charlie, I think they called him. We used to leave his bikes there when we used to go to the picture house.
Right.
And of course she went up ill then, and there were two or three up on top. There were old Peter They used to be church war, one of church wardens, Phillipson.
David Phillipson.
David Phillipson's
dad.
Old Joe Phillipson. Yeah. He lived at top.
He was end house, wasn't
yeah, right on, next to the river.
Right next to the river.
Yeah.
Remember, yeah. Remember that one? Remember that house being there?
Yeah.
That's changed, hasn't it?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
Can you remember much about chapel then, and things like Zion Chapel? And
well, Zion Chapel,
yeah.
And what the other one? Retoni's
Primitive Methodist, was it?
I don't know. But I know Orson Brothers had a lot to do with that one, didn't they?
Yeah.
And Mrs. Liff, or Miss Liffsey, and old Isaac, they wouldn't walk by that chapel. They used to go down Millfields, and across that field where our Ken is now,
yeah,
and come round and through School Twitchell,
yeah,
and down to Zion here.
Aye.
That's where they used to come. Every Saturday night, Sunday night,
yeah,
they used to walk up at Bank, Far Bank, down Millfields,
wow,
across that field where our Ken is now,
yeah,
come out again, Mrs. Ray Street,
yes, yeah,
round and through School Twitchell to Zion Chapel. And she was a little old woman, dressed in black, and he always wore long jackets, black jackets.
Black jacket.
Yeah.
Wow.
I don't know whether they were Mormons or what they were, but she got us to, all lads used to go there and lasses out of this village, Band of Hope.
All right.
And we joined Band of Hope. We shouldn't drink, and we shouldn't swear, and we shouldn't do anything.
Oh dear.
So, that were it, you know.
Yeah.
But, and it was surprising how many out of state that used to come there.
Yeah.
I talk to a woman now, she's older than me. When I see her, I say, can you remember going to Mrs. Lipsy's, Polly? Oh, she said, hi, Mrs. Lippy. She says, we used to come down that lane, well, that was Nab Lane,
yeah,
and along that bank side, and to her old cottage, and she used to give us apples and all sorts. And we joined Band of Hope as well.
And that were at Zion Chapel.
And they used to come to Zion Chapel.
Oh, right.
And
right,
of course, back at Zion Chapel, there was a big caravan. You used to go two or three steps. And Bill Hooley lived in that. We always said he was a captain of, because he always had a white beard. And he used to sit on them steps, you know, and put his hand up to you when you went by as kids. Yeah.
Well, that next door to Mrs. Schofield's little house that used to be down.
Yeah, her little cottage, and
yeah,
then were a bit of spare ground,
okay,
and big caravan were there.
Ah,
yeah,
yeah. So did he look after the chapel then?
I don't know what he did, really. No, I can't remember.
Ah.
He maybe did, he maybe were like a caretaker or somewhat to do with it, I don't know. Or whether he would just billeted there, I don't know.
Yeah. Can you remember Harold Watson's engineering then?
Yeah, yeah. Oh aye, yeah.
He did some wall work and stuff, didn't he?
That's no, right, he yeah, did, yeah. My auntie, our Doreen, she worked there. She was turning, I don't know what they were, because if she made a mess of them, he didn't want them, take them home with her. But they were solid steel, whether they were shells or something like that, I don't know. But there were one or two worked in there from out at village. I think Ina from next door here,
oh,
Ina Croucher.
Yeah.
That's that yard, you see, there were Crouchers.
Yeah.
There was old Charlie Balding, he had a like a greengrocer store there.
Yeah.
But I think before he took that over, there'd been a shop there. Because it was like a big double window and being boarded up.
Corner.
Yeah,
yeah,
that's it.
Remember that window?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because old Taffy Edwards.
Taffy lived down there, yeah.
He used to sit at end of there with a little terrier dog.
Yeah.
And us kids, as we come from school, we used to walk across the road nearly to him. There was no coming light. We used to turn to go back into the village. And then we used to start singing, Taffy is a Welshman, Taffy is a thief. And then he used to get up there to chase us, you know, off we used to go.
Taffy Edwards.
Yeah. Yeah, a grandfella, old Taffy, when, well, as I got to a teenager, I used to go round there and, you know, spend hours with him because he had a whippet and a little terrier we used to go head-size ramekin.
Ah, right. And next to Harold Watson, there was Mrs. What do you call her? Miss.
Preston.
Miss Preston with white beard.
That's her, yeah. Ah, we always used to go there at Christmas, you know. She used to pluck geese and ducks at Christmas.
Oh, right.
Yeah. Yeah, she would. And it wasn't just as we were hungry or all like that. We had plenty of snap during war.
Yeah.
And we used to go there and she'd give us an apple and she used to make scones and give us all the scone, you know. And come at Christmas and sing for me, won't you? And we used to all go out door all singing, you know.
This lake must have been a good place to be during the war because there's chickens and eggs and... So you never found the problem with food?
No.
Rationing didn't hit Fish Lake as bad as it did towns, did it?
No. Only thing what were a bit scarce, what coatings for clothes.
Yeah.
You know, where's kids, you had to bodge up and make do with what you'd got like.
Yeah.
But you could always do a little bit of a deal somewhere along the line. I know my grandfather, he used to have deals with Roland Walker. He had a little shop at bottom of bridge where that Pepsi, what Pakistani says now.
Pippin's place it used to be, didn't it?
Yeah,
right.
Well, he had that as a green grocer place.
Right.
And you could always go and get a bit of stuff from there. And I can always remember my grandfather saying, take these apples to Mr. Walker, and off I went on bike with this bag of apples, eating apples. And he says, he's got a bag for you, bring that bag back for us. Well, it was full of soap. You see, they were dealing and doing.
Yeah.
And different things you could get. And when I went to stay for school, we used to spend a lot of time on River Bridge. Because my great-grandmother lived down West Bank.
Ah, right.
And we used to go down to East Bank. There were a little shop down there, Blacknose. And that were a little gold mine. You could get out there. And this particular time, it must have been Christmas or just after, I went down there and this Mr. Blacknell, he were asking, where are you lads from, you know? I said, oh, I'm from Fish Lake. Oh, he says, do you know Charlie Epton? I said, yeah, he's my granddad. Oh, he says, is he? I said, you don't have any of them big blocks of salt, do you, mister? He said, what for, salting pigs? I said, yeah, my granddad can't get any. He said, well, tell him to come and see me and I'll fit him up. And we went, Uncle Dick went, we had a great bag and he got two of these blocks of salt, about 2 foot long, maybe 8 inches square, for salting pigs. And that one would just go in and talking to them and we used to go at sweets and that, you know.
Yeah. Now there you have mentioned the character, Dick Epton. He's one of the finest folks I've ever met. He's always entertained. Wasn't he a character?
He could tell tale.
You don't get many men with two crossbars on the bike, do you?
No. During war, you know, we got some flour. And he went on a racing bike and they put this bag of, it must have been 100 weight, on his shoulders, and he biked from Stainforth Bridge to Fishwick. Well, my grandmother had a big bin in back kitchen, and she put these bags of flour in these. They were a proper corn bin for baking and doing.
Yeah.
And they'd all come off at barges, because barges used to, tie up there just before they got to the bridge coming from Thorn, opposite to. New Inn. And there used to be one at this other side, Station Inn, and that's where they all used to congregate, barges, and that's where they used to tie up, because there were a landing, a proper landing thing there, you know. Mm. It was, yeah, it was grand. See some great stuff going up and down there.
Yeah.
And I can remember sailing boat Winthrop Bridge. Well, bridge were a wooden bridge then. Mm. They used to have to open it for them to put barges to go through. And also, they used to, on top of wall, but they've pulled it down, all these hooligans, on top of wall, where ropes come from barges, they used to put them over the top of wall for horse to pull them.
Yeah.
And they used to walk so far down that bank, west bank, and then through a little kissing gate on back onto Canal Bank.
Right.
And then, and it wore a groove in top of wall.
Yeah.
It was, there were sandstone wall toppings.
Yeah.
And there were great big ridges through there where ropes had run through. Yeah. We hadn't been wet.
Yeah.
The wet sandstone, and they cut a ridge through top of stone wall. Yeah. Mm. They were there for years, but of course
they got shoved in, didn't they?
Yeah.
Shoved into the canal. Oh. Yeah. Wow. I've often wondered what them were, because you could see them as kids.
Yeah.
See them ridges.
Yeah, that's what it was. They were, yeah. When they're pulling, they used to bring them up for, well, Sylvester's had a contract for pulling to barges from Thorn with horses. They used to come up Canal Bank from to them New Inn,
yeah.
Along, and then they used to come over the bridge.
To the other side, yeah.
To the other side. Well, then they used to open the bridge back to lodging house.
Yep.
And of course, then they carried on to Barmby Dunnas, you'd imagine. That's wherever they went then, to maybe to Newcut, as they called it.
Right.
But they'd go into Doncaster, wouldn't they?
Yeah, went to back to Doncaster, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm, right. What did Dick do in them days then? What was his job? Can you remember his first job?
Oh, hey. Well, as lads, they were working at Sandals at Barmby Dun. They were at Os job.
Oh.
You know, they used to go there. But then, as, well, my granddad were working at Pitt, got them jobs at Pitt. Well, they were wagon repairers, Dick and Cliff. They were both wagon repairers, restoring old wagons what got broken. That. And when I left school, that's where I went with them.
Right.
You know.
Repairing wagons on up
on
main.
Top, yeah.
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 Right.
But then I went down Pitt when I was 18, I think it was,
yeah.
When I went down Pitt. But of course the Pitt's gone now, ain't it?
Aye.
My grandfather said to me when I first went down Pitt, well, boy, you've done something where I didn't want you to do, but he says, you've got a job there for life. There's 200 years worth of coal under there. I want more to think now.
There's probably still 100 years of coal under.
Oh, there is.
Yeah.
Right out to Umber from.
Yeah.
There's no need to come under Fish Lake.
No.
There's no need at all to come this way. There were plenty of coal yon way on. They could have gone out through, you know, under Outfield Moors and right out to Umber.
Yeah. Yeah.
Plenty of coal out that way on.
Mm.
But, well, I don't know whether they'll ever open pits up again. I don't know whether we should want some fossil again.
Mm. Never know, do we?
When we get shortage, but they can sink pits a lot quicker now than what they would when their grandfather was sinking.
Yeah, yeah.
He got a lot of mates killed at Thorn Pit.
Mm.
They wanted him to go to Thorn Pit, and he said, no, I'm not. He says it will flood that pit, and it did.
Mm. Yeah. Aye, difficult lives, weren't they?
Yeah.
So did you ever have much to do with Sam Atkin, other than when he lived in Fish Lake?
I didn't have a great lot to do with him at all.
Yeah.
He used to come here to Parish Hall, him and Clary Morn, dancing.
Yeah.
He used to like to show off a bit, old Sam.
Oh, Sam could show off a lot, couldn't he?
Yeah.
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 Aye. Because Albert Kirk. Aye. Albert Kirk used to come to my dad to get his paperwork done, because old Albert couldn't read and write.
No.
And he used to get forms from the Ministry of Agriculture, and he'd always come at night about 9:30, something like that, see my dad, can you fill us these forms in, Percy? My dad would fill all these forms in for him. Albert would tell tale, and so you'd be sneaking downstairs trying to listen to Albert telling tale, because, God, he told some right tales.
Yeah.
Yeah. He was a character.
Yeah. Well, he went into that a farm at Moor Ends there. Well, down Hospital Lane he used to go.
Yeah.
Because that all that land in there would belong to Fishwick Church.
Yeah. All right. Yeah.
And he went on to that farm there, Albert Kirk, because Moors, they Warag kicked them out for bad farming.
Yeah.
And Herbie Moore finished up at Plough Farm, and then when he flitted to Wales, Albert Kirk come there.
Yeah. Aye.
So,
right. Both characters.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, aye. Hard worker, Albert.
Yeah. Oh, aye.
Real grafter.
Yeah.
And Sam were always the...
Oh, aye. The gentleman Jim.
The gentleman farmer.
Yeah.
If he could be, he would be, yeah. Yeah, character, that one.
Well, you see, that bank from Jubilee, from Camel's Hump,
yeah,
across that field, and it went on to Lane,
yeah,
and up that edge side, well, Sammy Atkinson, on top of that bit of a bank there was flagstones.
Yeah, there was, yeah.
And then he shoved edge back and took them flagstones.
Sandy.
Yeah.
Oh, right.
And there was a stile and a big oak tree. He used to climb over there. Well, when Lawson started bringing beast, he went over a bit of bump, and they put a gate against that tree where they could load beast straight into field. Well, Tommy Ball got to International Harvesters to shove them banks down.
Mm.
Well, if Tiny Sylvester had been alive, they wouldn't have done.
No, they wouldn't, no. No.
They wouldn't have done it.
They should never have come down.
They shouldn't.
No, no.
Right. If water ever got away, it had all come back through back at village.
Yeah, of course it would, yeah.
Them banks were put in for a purpose. Because I can remember, we used to go down to Herbert Moore's at Clough Farm, and that bank had come from Camel's Hump across, there was... It only went into middle of field bank,
yeah.
And Herbie Moore went to Tiny Sylvester and asked if he could plough it down. He said, you mustn't touch that bank. That bank was put there for a purpose. He says, them pond holes in Ullathorne's field and that one in corner of, well, it was, I don't know where it is at the time, Swimmingham.
Yeah.
He had that field,
yeah.
And then... One in this other field, in your field, he says they were dug out to make the bank.
Yeah.
And up roadside, it were all like a little bit of a shallow pond hole, run up roadside.
Yeah.
What they took turf out and muck out to build bank.
Build bank up, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Because that were our only protection, wasn't it? Of
course it was.
Yeah.
Oh, it'd have been a lot worse. If them banks had to put in, and of course then when they got the machinery, old Tiny, he got, didn't he get knighted or something for it? He got some sort of a record.
OBE or something.
Ah, yeah. For doing them banks.
Yeah. Oh, right.
He did a good job there.
He didn't have.
Yeah.
They don't maintain them now. Hopeless. Absolutely hopeless.
Well, it's just, I don't know. And there were all banks. The other side of the river, opposite to Fishwick side, was that bit higher than Fishwick side, because there were pits. Yeah. Atfield Main and Thorn.
Yeah.
And that bank at the other side next to Thorn, it went right through to Gore.
Yeah.
Well, they both did, didn't they, right,
yeah,
through.
Because, yeah,
Old River, it used to run through Snaith.
Yeah.
Into
where that bridge is.
Yeah, yeah. Into the, is it, what is it?
Air.
River Air, right.
Yeah. Interesting.